Good morning. It's such a privilege to be with you each morning like this, and we've enjoyed immensely the entire week, and what a wonderful attendance last evening. I know it was nearer 500 than it was 450, and that was a marvelous occasion, a great sermon, great sermons that have been preached throughout this series in those, and it's just been a wonderful and great experience. And these young people that are getting the fine training here and are going to be such an impact upon the church. I just wish I could stay around for 50 more years and see what's going to be the result of all of that work. I tell you, when you wake up like this early in the morning and get out, sometimes you wonder if you're thinking correctly, but I even have found out from some things that I've read about court cases that maybe even later in the day they don't think very clearly. I was reading about one court case where that the attorney asked the question, "Now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, in most cases he just passes away quietly and doesn't know anything about it until the next morning?" Here was another one. Said, "Was it you or your brother that was killed in the war?" The youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? So I guess we do pretty good at this early morning, and it's good to be with you. This morning we're going to be talking about Pharaoh's heart. Not just the hardening of it, but rather the things that went into the hardening of his heart. The term heart is used in the scriptures to describe the inward man, that part of man which is immortal. David makes a statement in Psalm 22 and verse 26, "Your heart shall live forever." Now, he wasn't talking about the pump that pumps the blood through our circulatory system. But rather, he was talking about the hidden man of the heart that 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 and 5 mentions. And unlike that blood pump, that heart lives forever. It never dies. It isn't corruptible. Though our outward man is decaying, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 to 18, the inward man, that hidden man of the heart, is renewed day by day. And it's made in the image of God. That heart, that spirit of man, is the part of man that bears his image. When God said in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us make man in our image, not images, but in our image, he was pointing out the fact that man would bear the imprint of immortality. And like begets like. Paul on the Areopagus said that we're the offspring of God in Acts chapter 17. God is spirit, John 4:24, and therefore we are like God in our spirit. And God expects us to allow that hidden man to direct our lives. He's the great heart searcher. And from the outset, he knew how that Pharaoh would react. And yet, what he did was done without respect of persons. Acts 10, 34 and 35 says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God doesn't respect the person of an individual, but he does respect character. And there are certain ones to whom he looks. Isaiah 66 and verse 2 says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. And God knew that that wicked potentate would harden his heart and be obstinate, and yet God could use him for his purpose of showing to the world that there is a true God in heaven. He said in Exodus, the third chapter, in verse 19 and 20, in speaking to Moses about returning to Egypt, God declared, I know that the king of Egypt will not give you leave to go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I'll put forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. The Lord informs Moses that when you go back to Egypt, you're going to find that there is not going to be a rich and warm reception by everybody there, even though you'll have this great and marvelous power to perform the miracles. And what you do before Pharaoh with all of those wonders which I've put in thy hand, I'll harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. Exodus 4 and verse 21. Now God would do that without violating the volition of Pharaoh. Pharaoh would be a creature of choice, but God could foreknow whatever he wanted to. Foreknowledge doesn't mean that you foreordain the thing to happen without any choice of an individual in the matter. Suppose that you're up on a mountain and you're looking down at a superhighway below, and you see that there is a car on the wrong side of the interstate, and that it's traveling about 70 miles an hour. And around the curve, unseen by that car on the wrong side, are trucks occupying all the lanes. And you say there's going to be a wreck. And suddenly, as they come crashing together, the wreck occurs. Did you cause it? Just because you and your finite capability saw a little ahead of time that it was going to happen? In the same way, God can foresee without making things happen in violation to one's own free choice and volition. And God announced in these events that he would harden the king's heart. Although the scriptures don't describe in detail how that would take place and how he would accomplish it, as the story unfolds, you can see that there are other things involved in the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And one should take all that God says upon a subject, for the sum of God's word is truth. Psalm 119 and verse 160. And so let's notice the various parts that went into the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. In the first place, the devil hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, he's not mentioned directly in the narrative, but sin causes an individual to have a hardened heart. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And it was sin and its deceitfulness that came from Satan through his cunning devices that hardened Pharaoh's heart, just as he can harden our hearts today. If we allow those things to deceive us that are enticing and cause us to turn our minds away from God, then the devil is hardening our hearts. But that doesn't excuse us from our responsibility. The devil simply presented opportunities. God also presents opportunities, and we make the choice. We choose life or death, blessing or cursing, as in that final sermon that Moses preaches of the three in Deuteronomy, urges Israel to understand. And we have those things set before us. And the Bible teaches also that the magicians had a hand in hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus 7 and verse 22 says that it was by their craftiness that they deceived Pharaoh into thinking that the gods of Egypt could do exactly what the God of heaven had done. And they were duplicating in some way. Some people think that they were deceiving. I think they really performed those wonders. The devil has great power. And God is not unjust even in dealing with the devil. And at time when God would use miraculous power, he allowed the devil to use whatever miraculous means that or supernatural means he had at his disposal. And then God would show that he's the stronger. And that's exactly what you see, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, in the demon possession of the New Testament. But when miracles ceased, God no longer would allow even the devil to use miraculous power, since he no longer uses it. But he didn't take an unfair advantage even over the devil. That's my personal feeling about the matter. And it was Satan casting out Satan. If in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, but he was doing it by the Spirit of God, and therefore proving that he's stronger, binding the strong man, and then spoiling his house. Today, Satan is bound, and he doesn't have power to perform any supernatural works. But these priests and these magicians were able to perform these wonders. And Pharaoh asked Moses and Aaron for a sign at the second meeting. And he said to them, show a wonder for you. Exodus 7 and verse 9. And Aaron cast down the rod and it became a serpent. And the Bible states that Pharaoh also called for the wise men, the sorcerers. And they also, the magicians of Egypt, did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod and they became serpents. Now some think that they were able to make snakes get stiff and that was what it was. And if you want to hold that view, that's fine. That doesn't seem to be what I read in the Bible. But Aaron's rod showed that it was stronger in that his serpent swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as Jehovah had spoken. Exodus 7 and verse 11 to 13. The Bible therefore teaches that the magicians had something to do with hardening Pharaoh's heart. Their actions were declaring to the king, our gods can duplicate anything that Jehovah can do. And why should you listen to him? And when the first plague was sent, and the water of Egypt became blood, you remember how the magicians duplicated that. But they couldn't take away the blood. They were only adding misery to misery. And I suppose that they felt like the king did when Balak had invited Balaam to come and curse the people of God. And every time he opened his mouth, he blessed them. And he said, well, if you can't curse them, don't bless them. And I'm sure that that's the way Pharaoh must have felt about his magicians. If you can't take away the plague, don't add more misery to us. And yet it showed the strength of God. And the magicians were doing with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Exodus 7, 22 and 23. Was the king so dense that he couldn't see that they were adding to their misery? But he allowed it to harden his heart anyway. And the Bible teaches that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He could have reacted differently to God's own wonders that had been presented if he had wanted to. Israel reacted differently. But Pharaoh chose to harden his heart. He chose to refuse the power of the miracles and the Lord's patience. And what should have humbled him and what he should have trembled about, he didn't. And so the record states in numerous cases like Exodus 8 and verse 15 and verse 31 and 32 and Exodus 9 and verse 34 that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. The record says, God said, I'll harden his heart. The devil did it. Sin did it. The magicians did it. And Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and God hardened his heart. In answer to the question, who hardened Pharaoh's heart, you have to consider all of these facts. We can say that God did it in the sense that he made demands that were contrary to the selfish arrogance of this potentate, and he refused. God did it in that he was long-suffering and would remove the plagues and allow another opportunity. The tender love of God was trampled upon by this king. And what should have hardened his heart actually was causing, what should have softened his heart was actually hardening it. Pharaoh is one who could have responded in the right way had it not been for his selfishness and all of the things that he rejected. And so it is with us. God presents us opportunities. And the same thing that should bring us to our knees sometimes causes others in their arrogance to refuse and disobey and become irreverent. And God bore with Pharaoh. He wanted him to have the same opportunities anyone would have. The same miracles that caused Israel to believe could have caused him to believe if he had wanted to accept it. But he refused it. How tragic it is when people refuse the will of God. Man's a creature of choice. The Bible says in Romans 6:16 to 18, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey?" That word is slave. Slaves to obey, to whom ye submit. His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Many, many years ago, Theodore gave this succinct illustration. He said, "The sun, by the force of its heat, moistens the wax and dries the clay, softening the one and hardening the other. And as this produces opposite effects by the same power, so through the long suffering of God, which reaches to all, some refuse and turn away." And of course, when they refuse, that means that God no longer can have his will through them. Then they become objects and illustrations of what happens in one's rejection. Some receive good and others evil. Some are softened and others are hardened. But I want to conclude in this last minute of our presentation by suggesting to you that God really tried to soften Pharaoh's heart. What were the factors involved in the softening if Pharaoh would choose to be softened? First, there were the miracles, the wonders. He rejected them. Secondly, there was God's long suffering. God patiently bore with him through all the plagues, which may have lasted over a period of about a year. They may not have happened just zip one right after another over several weeks of time. And God was long-suffering to him. God is long-suffering toward all men, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he even warned Pharaoh of the consequences of disobedience. And that should have softened that hard heart, but he didn't allow it to do so. And so the lesson that we have for us today is that we ought to allow God's influences to have his way with our lives, because he's like the potter over the clay. If we mar in his hands, he'll make with us what is fitting with the kind of product that we give to him. And I wonder who Israel thought about when they read passages like those in Proverbs 28 and verse 14. "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." God promised the kind of results from the events of Israel's history, and he held up Pharaoh, because of the hard heart of Pharaoh, as an example. And other nations even knew about it. Over in 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter, in the 6th verse, when the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines, and they were thinking of what they were going to do with it because of the misery that God was bringing upon them as a result of their capture of the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests and the diviners of the Philistines came and they said, "What shall we do with the Ark of Jehovah?" And they advised that it be sent away back to Israel without delay. And they urged this that we find in 1 Samuel 6 and verse 6. "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts?" Ah, even the Philistines knew about it. "As the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go and they departed. The centuries hadn't dimmed what God did to Pharaoh, and here we are, speaking another language, millenniums later, and learning the same lessons if we'll hear it.